Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is The Instigators with Andrew Peters and Craig Rebbe. Instigators.
All right, day two, ribs return. You feeling good? Yeah, I didn't think so.
I am feeling very good.
I didn't think you regret coming back so soon. You probably could have squeaked another week out, eh?
Probably. But I was excited. I was ready to come back. I mean,
I had people say that you sounded like you had some pep in your step. You ever heard that before?
Pep
you got
in your
pep
step?
In your step or a little pep in your voice?
All right. I'll take it.
You honestly haven't heard that?
Yes, I have.
Okay. Well, then don't act so dumbfounded by it when I say, hey, so, you know, a little pep in your step. So welcome back. Day two, Ribs Return, Instigators, Andrew Peters, Craig Rivet, Instigators. Tweet us at The Instigators. Tweet at Craig Rivet 52 at The Instigator 76 if you want to get in on any of our conversations. I'm sure today... salary cap will come up, right? Salary cap's going to come up. I want to talk to Riv about the top 20 centermen that have been released by the NHL. We'll talk about where Jack Eichel is located on that list and some other guys, maybe too high, too low. Up against the cap, what move should the Sabres make? A conversation carried over from yesterday, 11 o'clock. First of all, let me just recap something else. You've already come in here today and decided that you want to announce a different lineup from yesterday.
Yep.
We're going to do that at 11 for defenseman, but do you just want to just go on the Sabres forwards? Because I feel like you came in here this morning, and I completely forgot about that. There was something else I wanted to mention that you wanted to go over, and you said, can I just come out with another line today, please? Is this the lineup I gave you guys yesterday?
We were going to talk about we were going to announce the defense lineup, and you know what do we have? 10, 11 guys, you know, that are more than capable of playing in the National Hockey League. But we were going to announce our top six, our three defense pairings. But as of today, I've made changes to my lineup already to the forward line,
which I found which is...
because I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of things that you can do with the current forwards that the Sabres have. You can sit and make multiple different line changes, and you know this.
Well, enlighten me. What did you do? Because I don't know what you did. I just knew that you have one crossed out. You have another lineup. I'm sure there are some crumpled pages in the back.
Well, what I had yesterday was Rodriguez playing center on the second line, and as of today, what I did is I have Jack Eichel, Skinner, and Olofsson playing together as a line. I think Olofsson is at that point in time. He did very well in the minors. He scored 30 goals. He's got a great skill set. And I think those two players, and Jack Eichel and Jeff Skinner, are going to elevate I think Olofsson has the skill set and abilities to play with elite players.
Be a complementary piece.
A complementary piece, but I think the complementary piece that we're talking about in Olofsson, I think that he could do something special if having an opportunity to play with two players like that, because he skates well, shoots well, and has the right mindset for it. On the second line, here's where it changes. I have Johansson as my second line center. Now, typically last year with the Boston Bruins, he played left wing on the third line for a large part of the year. But then near the end of the year, he moved on to a line with Krejci at center, and who's the left winger, strong left power forward winger, DeBrusk, and Johansson played the right side. He's a left-handed shot, but played the right shot side. I think Johansson has played center in the National Hockey League. So I'm going to put him at center with Jimmy Vesey on the left and Sam Reinhart on the right. I think that's a real strong second line.
And,
I think,
and it goes back, that line there would indicate some, you know, just kind of the thinking that Jason Bottrell has stated out there. I quoted it, and I stick to quotes sometimes, maybe sometimes too much, but they're good quotes. Like, I mean, the one where he's, you know, I don't know if it was testing Sam Reinhart, but seeing if Sam can kind of, what was it, take control of a line on his own from the wing.
Yep.
And, yep, you know, kind of, you know, see if he can do that. Because I think we all know that Sam, Jack, and Jeff will, you know, they'll perform. But anyway, that would allow room for that to kind of,
yeah, and I
breathe,
mean,
a little bit.
Like I said, I think Jimmy Vesey right now, at his size and his skating ability, he's not a 22-year-old or a 21-year-old. He came out of college, had 4 years at Harvard. He played very well. Now he's played 3 years in the National Hockey League and played some pretty good years with the Rangers. He's in a situation. He's in a contract year. It's the biggest year of his life playing hockey. He wants to come in good shape. I know, I would think that he's going to be coming in fantastic shape. It's a new beginning, a new start with a new team. And
I think he's training with Jack. He's skating 3 days a week with Jack. Just, you know, and I.
Well, you know,
Jack,
what?
Jack,
listen,
trains,
I mean,
really hard.
The other day, I saw him at Tim Hortons. He walked through Tim Hortons at the Harbor Center, and I'll tell you, he looks in good shape. He looks in good shape. He's a big kid.
Is he 6'2"?
He's got to be 6'2", 6'3". He's my height and some, I would think. And he looks real strong, and he looks in good shape. And he's a player that's at that age where you're looking at getting the best years from his age now for the next 4 or 5 years.
Did you introduce yourself?
I didn't.
Why?
I didn't. Because I know as a hockey player, when I played, I mean, I don't want everybody introducing themselves
to
me when I played.
Okay, didn't you like when former players, and like you're not some, yeah, you're not some, you know, guy,
you know the way I
guy
am.
That's like, hey, when I was 18, I could have made it, but I got injured. That, you're not that guy.
No, that's true. Listen, you know me.
Yeah,
you would have had
a
full-on conversation with him in Tim Hortons for 35 minutes. I literally don't like to talk to people.
That's not nice.
You know that.
That's not nice to say.
Oh, you love talking. I don't like talking.
I don't know that I would have said anything to him. I don't even know that I would recognize him. I don't know that I know what he looks like. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I knew it right away as soon as I saw
him. I would have thought that if you saw him, you would have said, hey,
I'm not here to tell people that I used to play for the Sabres and play in the NHL. You know what? Listen, let the young guy do what he's got to do without being hassled all the time. And I'll look from afar. But
I used to love
when
former players used to come up and say,
I know,
hey,
because you love to talk to anybody.
It has nothing to do with that.
Yes, it is.
We're all in the same brotherhood. We all played hockey. We all have that same bond that very, very few have. I don't know why, you know, I think, you know what it is? I think sometimes the new school players don't appreciate or have the same kind of appreciation or respect for players.
I don't know about that. Listen, when I came in the league and I played, I highly respected those guys that came before me.
They're
the reason why
so
I'm playing and made the money that I. These young kids are better than ever before. That's just, you know, this is a different breed of hockey player. They are very, very good at what they do. That being said, to get off, you know, the chatting with Jimmy Vesey and a Tim Hortons.
Well, you could.
He looks in very good shape to me. I you know, and I look at him as a player with his size. He's 6'2", 6'3". He's 200, 205 pounds, 210 pounds. He looked real strong. He's a guy that we in this organization desperately need. He's a bigger body. He's going to go to the front of the net. We need more guys that want to go to the front of the net. That's his style of play. And, you know what, you have a Johansson who is a great playmaker. He handles the puck exceptionally well. You have obviously Sam Reinhart who loves to go to the front of the net too, who is also a very good passer. I think that would be a great line with Jimmy Vesey, Johansson and Sam Reinhart.
So what are we talking about here? If you're just tuning into the Instigators, day two of Riv, lineup
you,
number two.
Do you
two
like
of
that? Do you like the
I
first
really
two
like,
lines?
No, I really like it. I mean, there are even some tweaks that, you know, I think you could still consider
you're
making
looking at
those
two legit top two lines. You know, obviously Skinner, Eichel, and Olofsson is going to be the number one line.
Let me throw something at you.
Yes.
And it's only because I think everybody assumes that you sign Skinner, he has to play with Jack. And I mean, maybe that's the case, maybe it isn't. But, I mean, there's always, you know, different ways of thinking. And I would just think that if Sam Reinhardt is a phenomenal setup man.
And, absolutely.
And I mean, why couldn't Skinner and Reinhardt be a pair on the wings? You can slap maybe your Mittelstad in there or even Johansson and have a Olofsson with VC and Jack. And there, and you know why I'm doing that, because you have Jack. Is it money? It's not just money, but I think it's maximizing potential of players. And I think we're not just putting chumps with Jack here. We're putting Jimmy VC, who I think everybody would agree playing on a top line with some good players can get you 25 goals. And I think Jack will get you mid-30s, no questions asked, okay? And then you put a guy like Olofsson, who I think you and everyone else saw that there was chemistry with Jack. There's a good player there. There's a faster player, a more shifty player than maybe I think we all expected.
Yep.
And a really good passer, and obviously known for his great shot. And now you have $3.7 million on the wings with a $10 million player, and you've got Reinhardt and Skinner playing down there helping out the new guy, Johansson, in the middle. That would be spreading out your scoring as well. It's the same six guys you have in the top six.
So what you're saying to me is you're saying put Jimmy Vesey with Jack Eichel and Olofsson. Sure. And then you're taking Skinner.
Tentatively, yes.
Skinner with Johansson and Reinhardt.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with that. I mean, I look at this as almost like a Pittsburgh model, and what they've done is you look at the players that Sidney Crosby over the years have played with. He always seems to be playing with that one player that is somewhat unknown that they brought up from the minors, or they're just fitting that guy into the lineup. They put him with Sidney Crosby, and that player seems to elevate his game because he's playing with the best player in the world, because Sidney Crosby makes everybody around him better. So what you're doing is when you go into a city on the road, you have to that team that you're playing against has to try and identify who's the number one line, who's the line that we need to shut down. So is it the Jack Eichel line with Jimmy VC and Olofsson, or do you have to shut down a Skinner, Johansson, and Sam Reinhardt line? Both those two lines I look at as very, very high end in the ability to score goals. So now you're making it tougher on teams to go out and try and shut down guys. And that's what Jack Eichel is going to be in a situation where, listen, he might have less points by playing with maybe a Jimmy VC and Olofsson, but the team is going to have more success because you're going to have more depth down throughout the lineup. So interesting call by you. I would still keep Skinner and Eichel together, because I think that they have a chemistry. I think that, you know, Jeff Skinner signed here because, you know, he loved the idea of playing those next 8 years with Jack Eichel. You know, had the best year of his career. He had 40 goals last year. I think that moving forward, this team is going to get stronger.
That's what I'm saying to you too, is that he'll get his time with Jack on the power play. You know, I mean,
okay, but what about why can't you, a lot of coaches in the National Hockey League, they like to have pairs, okay? They identify a specific pair, and then they add on a player that is going to complement those two players. So for an example, Skinner and Eichel, you need to have a complementary player. Sam Reinhardt, that guy? Absolutely. He was incredible with that line, but you need to have depth throughout your lineup. So is Olofsson a guy that can be that player? Last year, who was the player? Who was the complementary player to Jeff Skinner and Jack Eichel?
Pominville.
He was the guy who stepped in, who is a third line right winger or a fourth line right winger. They put him on the first line, and he was a complementary piece to Jeff Skinner and Jack Eichel, and they were one of the best lines in the National Hockey League.
Why was he a complementary piece?
Because he played the game a certain way that complemented the way Jack Eichel.
What was his
Jack
name?
Eichel was a Jack Eichel was a more of a perimeter player. He is a puck moving guy, and you know, Jason Pominville lived in front of the net. He was very crafty. He knew exactly when the timing of going to the back door for the tap-in pass. Like, he was a complimentary player to those guys. I think Olofsson, who is not a young guy, he's 24 years old. He's played a pro season in the minors, 30 goals. I think that he has the skill set, the skating ability, and he's got one of the best shots around right now, even though he hasn't played in the National Hockey League. You give that guy an opportunity to play with two elite players, I think that he's going to have no problem really, really doing well on that top line.
Bob tweets us and he says, bring back Palmer for a year, put him with Jack and Skins and Ollie. I guess we're calling Olofsson Ollie now, on the second line for punch with Rhino and pick a centerman. You know what? A lot in there. Kind of just loosely thrown in there, but listen, I mean, Pominville's not here. He's not under contract. But the reason why I liked Pominville on that line, and everyone's like, it's because it's Pominville, and I'm thinking, well, yes, that I will honestly tell you up front that, yeah, that's part of it. Favoritism, 100%. But number two is that he never embarrassed me when I was encouraging that decision to put him there, because the one part about Jason's game that I feel doesn't go noticed enough, and I think it does, otherwise he wouldn't have been put on that line at all, is his smarts, positioning, defensive plays, soft little plays, passes, dumps in the right areas.
Yep.
All the little things that he does with the puck that aren't even necessarily toward the net.
Yep.
Or for an offensive chance. Just, you know, you get in trouble defensively, he chips it out and gets it in. Or he makes a great little sauce pass to the middle, a guy coming through, or he makes a play, whatever.
Okay, so that was last year. And Jason Pominville was a great, great
piece. Well, I'm just saying, I think you need that
player.
What
I'm saying is,
I think you need a player very much
like
that.
What I'm saying is Olofsson a guy that can do what you're asking? He has more speed than the players that Jack has played with in the past. He has got the skill set. He's got the shot. He's got the hockey IQ. This guy could be a very, very good complimentary piece for a player like Jack Eichel. He is a goal scorer.
But
this kid is a goal scorer.
Don't you feel there has to be? And I could be wrong. I'm just questioning. I'm just throwing thoughts out there because if you don't put Reinhardt on that line because you're trying to get him with a line to kind of run a line on his own, which is a huge compliment to him.
That's what we're talking about right now.
That's what we're talking about. So
can Sam Reinhardt run a line or make a line better?
Would you sign him before that? But would you sign Sam? And it's I know it's kind of a separate conversation, but we're talking salary cap as well. But would you sign Sam under the circumstances of not knowing if he could do that? I mean, would you sign Sam not knowing what he couldn't do, knowing what he could do without Jack? Is what I'm saying to you. Do you see my question?
I do.
I mean, it's putting a lot of pressure on a guy like that, or it's a challenge, I should say. It's not pressure because he's a good player.
When Sam Reinhardt signed his contract 2 years ago, or a year ago, okay, he got put in a situation that Jason Botterill wanted him to go and earn what Sam feels that he's worth. So in year one, Sam came out with 22 goals and 65 points. A pretty darn good year. Because he did not play the full time with Jack Eichel. He played most of it, but he also played on other lines because the coach last year was trying to find more depth throughout the lineup. So Sam Reinhardt moved around a little bit throughout the lines and still ended with 65 points. You started to see Sam's maturity in the game in the sense that he was able to elevate a line due to his play. So when we're looking at Sam Reinhardt in his fifth year in the National Hockey League and 23 years of age turning 24, you're starting to realize that Sam and Jack don't need to play together anymore if you don't need it. You can now put Sam on a line, which I think he's going to help elevate a line. The guys that I have Sam with in Johansson and Vesey, they are very good players in their own right. Jimmy Vesey is a couple months, I'm telling you this right now, Jimmy Vesey is a couple months from having a breakout season.
I agree.
He's a big kid.
What's a breakout year?
A breakout year is 25 goals.
Very doable.
And I think Jimmy VC had a 16 and 217 goal years in New York. He is going to come to the Buffalo Sabres, and he's going to be given an opportunity to take maybe a little bit bigger role. And I think that he is going to have a very good year if he's put with certain players. He has stated himself that he is a goal scorer. He is a big man. He likes to go to the net. He plays the game hard. I think he's going to do very well for the Buffalo Sabres next year. He's, when we're talking about being bigger and harder to play against, Jimmy VC is not a crash and bang type player, but he's a big body that skates well, and he knows how to score goals. He's going to go to the net. And Sam Reinhart is one of the best passers out there, and he can score himself, and he can move the puck. And Marcus Johansson is, I mean, watching him in the playoffs last year with Boston, he was very impressive. The way he was skating and the way he was moving the puck and his hockey IQ and creativity, this could be a very interesting second line if they tried.
Okay, so I guess you're saying to me that you believe that Reinhart can carry a line on his own. There's no need for concern that if you sign him to a I guess that was the other question too. Would you sign
Sam Reinhart now?
Well, for how much? For how much?
Well, listen, I mean, it's a touchy situation. You know, if Sam Reinhart goes into next season and has a career year and puts up 75 points, then he's putting himself in a category where he's going to be making $8 million a year. I mean, that's a lot of money. It's a lot of money. But he's gone out and he's proved that he's in a $7-8 million range.
So 72 points this year would get him $8 million a year.
75 points is going to put him in a.
I think 72 is a number.
You know, maybe not $8 million, but you have to understand Sam is, he's 20. He's going to be turning 24 years old this year. How many years before he has till he's unrestricted? If he signs a long-year deal, you're signing UFA years away from him, so you're going to have to pay him more money. It'll be an interesting.
I don't want to have the conversation season about trading him, okay? Because I don't see the Sabres trading him. I think he's a valuable asset.
I think he's valuable, yeah.
But my question is, what could you get for him?
I don't see. We did that maybe a year or two ago.
His value has probably gone up.
Yeah, and listen, I mean, when you have 65-point players that are 23 years old that still have an upside and room to grow, which Sam Reinhart does, he is going to get stronger. He is going to get quicker. He is going to be a smarter player just by going through experiences, whether they're good or bad. He's going to become a better player. He's always been a real solid, well-spoken young man in the dressing room. I see Sam as a guy that I don't even want to have this conversation. If you want to have this conversation, I can.
Well, I'm not
basically
I'm not saying,
say yes or no.
Listen,
but
listen,
for me,
no,
Sam is
not
a player
here
at all.
Saying that the Sabres should trade him. I'm not saying that if he has 75 points and the market value is 7.5 or whatever. I'm not saying trade him. I'm saying just asking what could you get for him, because you like calls.
The only way, if rumors are true, that
however long ago before the draft, everyone's name is available except for Jack and Rasmus. Well, then. What would a team offer for Sam? I'm not saying that it would even be acceptable, because I don't even know that we know what Sam Reinhart really is. I don't know if Sam Reinhart really knows what he is, and I don't think anyone else knows what he potentially could be and how good he potentially could be.
I think Sam's an extremely smart player, and we've talked about this for a very long time about Sam. His hockey IQ and his sense and his vision on the ice is pretty impressive.
I've been a big
Sam
advocate.
The thing that's happened with Sam Reinhart is his ability to make players around him better. You can see that he's not the same player when he was 19 or 20 or 21. He is now developing into a player that he understands the game so well, and he's so crafty. Like, he's not a player that your wow factor, your eyes are sticking out of your head because he's so fast, or he's laying the biggest body checks and crushing guys. He is like the underwhelming superstar. He does everything exceptionally well. And at the end of the game, you're looking at him and you're saying, wow, he had a goal and an assist tonight. And he played exceptionally well. But he doesn't have wow factor. He has a game that
Sam,
you're...
Sam?
Yeah.
I think Jack
has wow factor.
Rasmus Dahlin doesn't have wow factor yet.
Rasmus Dahlin has some wow factor. I'll give it to you there. But, you know, you understand that, you know, Sam is just a sneaky, sneaky player that does things exceptionally well. He's exceptionally intelligent in the way that he plays.
He's
like Palmer, yes, but he's only getting better.
Yeah.
And I don't think he's come close to hitting his ceiling. That's the great thing about Sam Reinhart.
Yeah, he's a fascinating player, to say the least. And you know what? I think, you know, someone tweets in here, you think he can run a line. And, you know, can a guy run a line? Like, I think everyone has this idea that it has to be a centerman. I mean, you know,
well, you know
in
what?
The defensive zone, you get three guys that can buy in the defensive zone, and you got a guy that's good down low. But once you get in the offensive zone, I think nowadays it's freewheeling.
Yeah. I just look at, like I said, my second line as of today is Johansson at center with Sam Reinhart and Jimmy Vesey. And I know that Sam, we talk about him running a line, but I'll tell you this. Those two guys that he's playing with are not young guys anymore. They've played in the National Hockey League for a number of years. I think that this second line could be a very dangerous line if given a chance to build some chemistry together, which then puts me at my third line.
We got to save it because we're up for break here. Sorry.
Okay. No problem.
It's a great bottom six, and we'll talk about it. If you're interested more in this conversation, stick around for 11. We will we'll talk about the defensemen and your bottom six at 11 o'clock. But coming back, we got to talk about top 20 centers in the league, who they are, do they belong there, and then on top of it, where was Jack Eichel this year, where was he last year, and what are the expectations for him coming up this upcoming season? I think we've talked a little bit about who he might be playing with. Top 20 centermen in the NHL coming up right here on the Instigators. Find out who Riz likes, who I like. WGR 550 and MSG.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're back with more of the Instigators with Andrew Peters and Craig Rabe.
Off topic. It's National Root Beer Day. Or no, I'm sorry. National Root Beer Float Day.
Love root beer.
Do you like root beer floats? I'm not a float guy. I don't like the
I'm not a float guy.
Float. I don't do them.
If you go to a restaurant, you're gonna order like a pop. Are you gonna order? What's your drink?
A liter of cola. Sorry, that's my Rod Farva. A cola. Nowadays, you know what, Riv?
Like
nowadays,
a Coke, I'm not Pepsi type
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, well, yeah, yes, yeah, exactly. Well, you know what? I'm not gonna lie to you. These days, I'm drinking a lot of water. Right. One of my things I'm trying to cut out of my life is cola.
I don't really drink pop.
So anyway, why would you? Would you order a root beer?
100%
root beer.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Dr. Pepper, maybe. Tasker loves his Dr. Pepper. I mean, that and breath mints.
Yes.
That and breath mints. Okay. So National Root Beer Float Day. Maybe an orange pop with vanilla ice cream. That might be not bad, right? Like an orange creamsicle type thing. So top 20 centermen in the NHL. And this list came out, I don't know, yesterday maybe. August 16th, 2018 and August 5th, 2019.
Yep.
We have both lists in front of us. A lot of the same names. The most interesting, well, the one that is closest to home is Jack Eichel. Back-to-back years at numero 15. Curious to know your thoughts on that. Now, do you want to go through the names that are above them? I mean, obviously, McDavid, Crosby, McKinnon, Barkov, Tavares, Matthews, Bergeron, Stamkos, Scheifele, Point,
Okay.
Unsigned and just stop point. That's right your there. Top 10.
I don't think Jack, as of right now, deserves to be in the top 10. I think all of those players that you named, you know, obviously McDavid, Crosby, MacKinnon, Barkov, Tavares, Matthews, Bergeron, Stamkos, Scheifele, Point. I don't think Jack Eichel at this point in time is going to bump one of those players.
Do you have a problem with the top 10?
No.
Not even the position. I mean, positioning, who cares? Like, you know, if one guy should one guy's 9, should be 6, or one guy's 5 and should be 8.
I don't have a problem with the top 10. I think, obviously, Connor McDavid's the best in the world. I think Sidney Crosby has been absolutely incredible for many years. Nate MacKinnon moved up 2 spots from last year to number 3. Well-deserved. He had back-to-back incredible seasons. Alexander Barkov, to me, is the new Patrice Bergeron player of today. The only thing is, Alexander Barkov had 96 points last year. I mean, he is a stud. He is a big man. He plays both ends of the ice exceptionally well, highly skilled. I think he deserves to be at 4. Obviously, Johnny T had the best year of his life playing alongside the little whippersnapper in Toronto, Marner, and scored, 48 goals last year? He deserves to be in the top 5. Austin Matthews, Patrice Bergeron has been the best two-way player in the game for the past 10 years. Steve Stamkos last year, 45 goals? 45 snipes, I think, for Steve Stamkos. Played exceptionally well on one of the best teams ever in the National Hockey League. Mark Scheifele is a 6'3", 220-pound center that plays both ends of the ice. He's physical. He does everything, and he still produces points. Obviously, Braden Point.
Who's your favorite player on the top 10 list there?
David.
McDavid?
Yeah. I mean, he's for the first time in my life, I will say that Connor McDavid is a stretch above the rest.
It's true. I want what you had for breakfast. All right, let's move on after the top 10. So Jack, as we mentioned, we're talking top 20 centers in the league. Jack Eichel, back-to-back years at number 15.
Yep.
They obviously were not aware of the number change, so it should be at 9. But number 11 this year is Seguin. O'Reilly is 12. Evgeny Malkin is 13. Sebastian Aho is 14. And Jack Eichel is 15. Could he be higher on that list, in your opinion?
Yeah, he should be 11.
Is he better than all those other guys?
Absolutely. I mean, are you going to tell me that that Ryan O'Reilly is better than Jack Eichel? That's ludicrous. Great for Ryan O'Reilly. He won the Stanley Cup. He won the Selke. He won the Conn Smythe. Good for you. It was a Cinderella year for you. But let me tell you, they're not even on the same page, Jack Eichel and Ryan O'Reilly. Jack Eichel was our number one center. Even when Ryan O'Reilly was here, you can see the dynamic display of talent that Jack Eichel has. Ryan O'Reilly looked like he had a 40-pound weight vest on his back most of the time. And even in today's game, even in the playoffs, he looked like he was struggling to get up the ice half the time. But he's extremely smart. I'll give it to Ryan O'Reilly. He plays a really, really smart brand of hockey. He's very, very intelligent in the way that he plays. But Jack Eichel is far superior than Ryan O'Reilly. I believe that Evgeny Malkin has been one of the top 5 centermen in the game for the last, how many years has he been in the league? 10, 13, I don't know. Evgeny Malkin has been an elite centerman. He has fallen off just in this year. He did not have one of his greatest years. I would put Jack above Evgeny Malkin just because of age. Sebastian Aho had an incredible season with Carolina. But if I had to pick between two centermen, whether it's Sebastian Aho or a Jack Eichel, 100% I'm taking Jack Eichel. So that means Jack is flopping Aho, flopping Evgeny Malkin, flopping O'Reilly, and it comes to Taylor Seguin.
Tyler's brother.
Yeah. That guy.
Well, you do still get that draft year mixed up. Taylor and Tyler. Yeah, Taylor Hall was 1. Tyler Seguin was 2.
I did the same thing.
I used to call him Tyler
on any
Hall.
Given day, I'm going to call him Taylor Tyler. It doesn't matter. Yeah. But you get what I'm saying. Jack Eichel, is he better than Tyler Seguin? Tyler Seguin is a really solid player. He's a
good sniper.
He's about an 80-point player every year. He's always the 30 to 40 goal player in the National Hockey League. If I had to take one of the two, I'm taking Jack Eichel over Tyler Seguin.
Why is he 15 then? Like, is this just, like, because they say, well, they got to get him in the top 20?
I think it comes down to probably points. It probably comes down to the way your team is doing.
Ryan O'Reilly wasn't even on the list last year. And, I'm looking at Daily Faceoff, and I don't know if this is just from – but Braden Schenn was their number one center.
How many times did Tyler Seguin play without Jamie Benn and Radulov?
I don't think he did.
Yeah. He didn't play with. So Jack, for an example, started with Connor Sheary. He had Skinner.
Skinner by game
he
five.
He played with Pominville. He played with Reinhardt. He played with Kyloposo.
Olofsson.
He had Olofsson. He had a game with Tage Thompson.
I
he
think
played
Erod
with Rod.
Was on as
played
well.
With Erod. Jack played with every single guy on the team because we're still trying to figure out. And trying to move players around depth for depth purposes to make our team stronger. The reality is if you put Jack with two elite players for 82 games, you're going to get more than 80 points out of Jack Eichel. He's going to be 95 points. So Jack has 95 points. Now all of a sudden you're in a situation where if the team's stronger and Jack's playing with two top players, I mean, you're going to see Jack's point totals go up. He is an incredible hockey player. Jack makes everybody, and I mean everybody around him, better. It doesn't matter who Jack plays with. He always seems to get it done. He's got a tremendous more pressure on him than any of the top 15 centermen in the league.
Well, it's funny you mention that because we had the conversation about pressure, and I'll bring it up again. And I was saying I feel like I don't – I think if I recall my comment was I don't think he has any pressure from the standpoint of that he doesn't already expect is what I mean. When I said that. Like he obviously has pressure, but I don't know that there's like pressure on him to perform like a – Skinner, a Reinhardt, a VC, or guys like that, because I think he performs, he goes out and plays the same and can perform on any given night. I don't know if that makes sense to you or if I'm, articulating that properly, but clearly he has pressure. He's the captain of the team and he's the face of the franchise, but I mean, I'm just talking about, I don't think he sits there and says, I got to get 120 points.
Let me tell you something. If Jack Eichel didn't score last year or Jeff Skinner or Sam Reinhardt, who produced points? In our top nine.
But that's exactly it. That's why I'm saying
Jack Eichel. I mean, if he plays his B game, okay, and everybody plays a B game. You can't play 82 games of playing your best game. But if Jack Eichel plays a B game, then we have zero chance of winning. Zero. That's the pressure that Jack Eichel has right now. Do you think Braden Point has pressure? If he doesn't play well, then Steve Stamkos is on the other line. He's got Kucherov, he's got Johnson, he's got Killorn, he's got Yanni Gord. I mean, he's surrounded with a tremendous amount of talent. So if he has a B game, it doesn't even stand out. He's probably still getting 2 points. Jack Eichel, if he does not play his A game, this team does not win because they don't have the depth right now to be able to win. So there's a tremendous amount of pressure each and every single night.
Can I ruffle your feathers on one other point?
Go ahead.
I just want to make it clear that I hated Sidney Crosby 6 years ago. But I, no way is McDavid, has he statistically? Yes. He is, for a lot of the same reasons that you just mentioned, he's not quite at Crosby's level.
When it comes to making a different planet right now. Tell you what, that planet I'm on,
I feel great and I'm happy, but I'll tell you, it makes me think that McDavid is
there is no question. And listen, I love Sidney Crosby more than anybody. I've got to play against him. I got to watch him.
I just think the people that do the list, not just this list, every list, are so quick and so needy for somebody new, and it has to be McDavid because this is what everyone expected. Well, it's not there yet. He has not knocked Sidney Crosby off the pedestal yet for the number one player in the world. He hasn't. Crosby had 100 points last year, and his team made the playoffs. McDavid, great. Great year. Great year. Two guys, 100 points. Edmonton's still in major trouble.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter what you say. I'm always wrong. I'm always wrong when it comes to you. You ever notice
that? I was agreeing with you last year. I did not want, especially at the start of last year, I did not want to give up what Sidney Crosby has worked so long for, and he has been a great ambassador in face of this National Hockey League. But I'll tell you this. I believe that Connor McDavid is the new face of the NHL. And that's okay. Sidney Crosby, it's okay. He was a face of this league for probably 12 years, 11 years. Well, now he's in a situation where there's a new kid in town. And Connor McDavid is an incredible face to the NHL. And he has produced, even though his team hasn't had the success, they're in the same situation as Buffalo. They're working through some tough times, but they're getting better and they see the light. And I believe that Connor McDavid has been really, really fantastic.
Okay.
But I'll tell you this, Jack Eichel, 2 years in a row at 15, no, sir. Jack Eichel should be 11 in my books.
Well, Craig Reveille's list has Jack at number 11. So find out how many times and who will see the number 11 centerman in the world in Craig's books on NBC next year. And maybe even we'll get JR in studio. Sabres have some televised games. We'll tell you when they are and who they are against. And I actually have something I want to say about the schedule, that when it was announced, I think I was off or something else was going on, and a point I want to make. Didn't hear anyone whining about it this year. Tell you more about what that is when we return on the Instigators, WGR Sports Radio 550 and MSG. It is the return of Craig Reveille, which means one thing. It's the return of Taylor Segay. Taylor Segay. PK Subban. See you in a few minutes.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hockey talk that hits. This is the Instigators with Andrew Peters and Craig Reveille.
All right. This all kind of goes hand in hand here. No matter where the players rank, boys, your show ranks number one, and that is to a true friend of the show. We don't toss that term around lightly, friend of the show. Craig doesn't like many people, all right? And I know I'm dangling by a thread on that list. So, Dan Dunleavy, thank you for the kind words. Yeah, Dan Dunleavy. He says, you know what? I mean, and we love having Dan on. Because when you were gone, Dan was one that stepped in many times. And I'm going to tell you, very entertaining guy, Dan. So thank you. Yep. Thanks for listening and all your support. And we support Dan. I think Dan calls an awesome game. And unfortunately, he's going to get poofed for 5 scheduled dates already just announced today. And that's for NBCSN. So the Sabres will go national on Friday, November. Excuse me. I had one of the Timbits Old Man River brought in. Friday, November 8th versus Tampa Bay in Sweden. Tuesday, December 10th, home versus St. Louis. I wonder why that one's on the schedule. Tuesday, December 17th at Toronto. Thursday, February 6th, home game versus Detroit. And Wednesday, February 26th at Colorado. There you have it. Now, do you care to say anything? I'm hoping. I'm going to work on and try and hope that JR makes a trip in for St. Louis or, a couple of these games, a few of these games, and we'll try to get him in studio. I think they blocked him from us last year, but we'll work on it this year. But there was something about the schedule that I wanted to bring up, Riv. You notice nobody was complaining about how the Sabres and Leafs play so late in the year. They're all done by December. I'm going to go back and check the schedule one more time, but if I'm not mistaken, they don't play the Leafs after after December or something like that. So over the last few years, all I can remember is, oh, we only see the Leafs in, February, March, and April. And then, and you understood that because those are great games and you'd like to see them earlier in the year. But then I think we get them all at the start of the year. There's one, two back-to-back on the 29th and 30th of November. Then you have, you're at Toronto on December 17th. Okay, so that's three games. Then you have...
Nothing in January.
Nothing in January. One in February on the 16th. Okay, so it's spread out a little bit better.
Is that it?
Nothing in March and nothing in April. So you have the Leafs four times. And they're done by, what was it, February 16th?
Yeah, that's pretty good.
I mean, it's nicely spread out. I like the late season Leaf games. And when the Sabres are, that true push every single year for the playoffs, I will really hope those games will be later on in the season when those points are so desperate. And that's when the rivalry comes. You get those back-to-backs, like in March, mid to late March, when you only have 12 to 14 games left and you have three against the Leafs, interdivision rival. That's when you're...
15 games in March. Wow. It's a heavy month right there.
Did you ever used to look at it that way? I mean, this isn't self-deprecating. It's just the mindset of how every guy prepares for schedules. But when I saw 15 games in March, I'm like, okay, I don't know how many games I'll play or if the other guy will be in the lineup and all of that. But how do players look at that and do they?
14 in February. Those are heavy months. You're playing three games a week at least. I mean, that's a wear. That's a breakdown on the body right there. I mean... that's a lot of hockey in February and March. A lot of hockey.
That's where you're waking up on the road. You don't know what city you're in.
That's exactly what you're doing. And you laugh at it.
I do laugh because it happened.
Yeah, I mean, I just remember when I was older. I mean, every city seemed to blend together. I mean, you would just basically put your head down, your headphones on. You'd walk onto the plane. You'd fly. You'd get... off the plane, onto the bus goes to the hotel, you get in the hotel, which all the hotels look the same, and I mean, it was like Groundhog Day, and you wake up in the morning, and you look across at a teammate, and you're...
Well, maybe you should file a complaint and say, with the Ritz-Carlton to say, you know what, you need to start to have each hotel be a little different. I just get so confused with all these Ritz-Carltons I'm staying at.
Yeah.
I'm just joking.
Am I complaining?
No. It was just a joke. But you're right. It never happened to me. But I know that guys would just kind of lose track of where they're going, what city they're in, and the schedule because you just know I got a game that day, and it doesn't matter who you're playing. You prepare the same way.
Something just came into my mind right now.
Yeah, let's hear it. Can we?
I cannot remember the hotel. I cannot remember the hotel. But I just remember this hotel that you would get your room key, and there was different towers.
Toronto. Weston Harbor Castle. You were in the North Tower or the South Tower, and you didn't know which.
Okay, so you get up to upstairs. Let's say you're on the 29th floor. You get off off the elevator, and I am not kidding when I say this. It took me over 5 to 10 minutes to walk the hallways to get to my room. It was like literally walking half a mile to get to my room. Do you remember that hotel?
Yeah. Yeah,
and to go down for pregame lunch and stuff like that.
Well, because conference room was on the other side of the bottom of the tower on the other side.
It took you 20 minutes to get from.
You had to go all the way down to the bottom and then walk underneath the hotel all the way. Yeah, yeah.
All right.
I didn't have much.
I don't
of
know
an
why
issue.
That came to my mind, but yeah.
Hotel struggles. Okay, Instigators. We'll be right back. Hour number two. Craig's. It's part two of the dry erase board. Defense today. I'm sure the defense.
Got to finish my two.
We do have an agenda.
Lines.
We'll finish the bottom six.
Quick bottom six and the defense pairs.
All coming up between 11 and the next segment. So stick around. That's what we're talking about. And sports update coming up next. We'll be right back.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.